Here's another inspiring message from Northside Community Church, Sydney.
Okay, so this morning, I have a bit of a question for you. I've got actually a couple of questions for you. My first question is this. How many of you know what this is? Yeah? Show of hands. Oh, even Harper knows what this is. Okay, so then my next question for you is, we all know it is a street directory. Are we all agree? Yep, even though it says on there. Okay, my second question for you is, who can remember how to actually use it? Yeah? A little bit? Well, I was actually showing my kids this the other day, or yesterday actually, and they were like, what is that? And I was like, they're like, it's a map, that's so exciting. Oh, let's find our house, found our house, found our church. And then I said to them, so do you know how to get from our house to church? And they were like, just get your phone, Mum. And I was like, no, no. What we used to have to do back in the day is we'd have to like work out how to like get from this map to that map. And I have to say, I tried to do it yesterday and I felt incredibly anxious and overwhelmed. And I was like, how did we ever actually do that? And you know what? I think it's because of these things that we all have anxiety about turning the interior light on in our car. Because I don't know about you, but you'd like pull over, put your light on because you're like, I can't have that on while I'm driving, because we were all told that if you had it on, I don't know what was going to happen, but something was going to happen. You're going to get pulled over. It was like against the law to have your light on. And I reckon it's because of these. So kids, don't put the light on when you're driving, but be thankful that you've got like an actual map on your phone that can actually move as you move. Okay, now I have another question for you is, who knows what this book is? You may have one. It may look very different to this because they all come in different shapes, sizes, fonts. This one's really small, so if there's some people that won't be able to read that without their glasses on. If you guessed it's the Bible, you were correct. And don't worry, I'm not about to ask you to put your hands up to tell me if you know how to use it or not, because that's what we're going to talk about this morning. Okay, so we've got two books here, Street Directory and the Bible. Now, there's some similarities between these two books. You could say, if we're being really spiritual, both of them give you direction and both of them can tell you how to get from A to B. Yeah, I know. both of them have also actually changed history, because without this, we wouldn't have been able to get from literal A to B. And both of them are probably full of truth. Well, we hope that the person that mapped that out did actually map it out correctly. Both full of truth. But one of these books, if used correctly, isn't just going to give you information. It's actually going to give you transformation as well in your life. Because it doesn't matter how much you look at a map, doesn't matter how much time you spend in a map, it's probably not going to transform your life. But this one has the potential to transform. But I think the reality is that sometimes we actually use this one the same way that we use this one. And so we've been looking at a series over this last month or so called Streams of Living Water, which is talking about how our spiritual lives work better when we feed it upstream, when we are putting in different practices in our life to be able to feed into the bigger river and to feed our lives that way. And so sometimes when it comes to books like this, there's other books that are like this that are truth books and that we spend time in, like uni textbooks. I know for me, when I did my degree in social work, there was a lot of reading that happened. But if you asked me now if I could recall any of what I read, I could tell you not, probably very minimum about that. Because I was just reading it for the information. I was treating it like a textbook, as you do. You're about to do a uni assignment and you're like, it's on this, so let me quickly flick to the book. Let me find the bits that's on that, highlight, yeah, get that out, put that in there, and then boom, done, and now I've forgotten. I can actually treat the Bible a little bit like that. And it's not just Christians that can treat the Bible like that. Non-Christians and Christians can treat the Bible like a textbook. We can look through it and we go, I've got this really strong opinion about something. I'm just going to use the Bible to flick it open and I'm just going to, oh yes, that verse there, just one verse, probably taken slightly out of context, also agrees with me about what my strong opinion is. Or we can look at it and go, okay, so I just need to know how I'm meant to behave in this situation. Where is that? Oh, okay, yep. Okay, so I'll do that. I won't do that. Great, done. Yep, tick that, tick that. That's what I'm going to do. Or we can even look at it, and the world can do it too. And they go, this is what the Bible says in one little bit about who's in, and this is what the Bible says about who's out. And then we just go, yep, done. I've got what I've wanted from it. And you know what? Using the Bible like this isn't just a new thing. It's not a modern thing. It's not something that just has occurred because now we have the privilege of all being able to either have our own Bible or like have our own Bible in our pocket. It's actually something that has been a bit of a problem for a really long time. Even in Jesus's day, it was a long time. It was a problem in which people were reading the scriptures. So back then it would have been the Old Testament, reading the scriptures for information and not for transformation. And so it says in John 5 verse 39, this is when Jesus is talking to the religious leaders of the day, the Pharisees is what they were called, about how they were studying the word. And it says this, "You study the scriptures diligently because you think that in them you have eternal life. These are the very scriptures that testify about me, yet you refuse to come to me to have life." And so what Jesus is doing there, he isn't criticizing their view of scripture. He isn't criticizing the fact that they're studying it. He isn't criticizing the fact that they're spending time with it. He's rather criticizing their use of scripture. So he's like, you've got all the information about who I am, yet I'm right here and I'm going to offer you the transformation that you've been reading about, but you just want to stay in the knowledge rather than in the transformation. So he's not criticizing them about their use, about their view, but he's criticizing their use. So just us reading the Bible, it isn't going to transform us. Just us reading the Bible doesn't actually make it a beautiful stream of living water into our spiritual life. So, how do we read the Bible so we're not just reading it for information but for transformation? You see, what I love that we've been doing through this series is each of the streams that we've been talking about have actually been things that are like Jesus's daily habits or Jesus's habits that he's had. It's not things that we've just sat down as a group and gone, oh, I wonder what would be really good to add to our spiritual lives. Because, you know, people have got enough going on. Let's just add some extra things that maybe they could do on the side. But rather, we've looked at Jesus's life about the things that he's done, like contemplative prayer. We've looked at how he was compassionate to others. And so this morning, when we're talking about how we can read God's word, not just for information, but for transformation, we're going to look at Jesus' life about how he did it, how he spent time in the Word and how he got it into his soul. Okay, so the first thing that he did as we look at Jesus' life is that he spent time getting it into his soul. He spent time in the Word. Now, some of you might be saying, hey, Kristen, but you do know that Jesus is like the human form of God. So like he has something a little bit easier than us. Well, we believe that Jesus is the 200% person. So he's 100% God and he's also 100% human. He's 100% like us. He came into the world the same way we did. He went through all of the loneliness, all of the heartbreak, all of the highs, all of the lows of life, just like what we have. He felt the growing pains. He went through that awkward, we call it the alien stage in our family, that awkward alien stage where you're like not really sure how your body goes together. Like he went through all of that. He's 100% human. And he's not just some sort of like godly USB stick that came preloaded with all of the information either. Like he had to spend time in God's word. And it shows us time and time again in his word that he did do that. And so we're going to look at one of the instances of that. And it's in Luke 2, and it's where his family have all just gone up to Jerusalem to be part of the festival of the Passover, and they do that every year. And I'm assuming, making a good assumption because I don't want to put Mary and Joseph under the bus as bad parents, but I'm assuming that they went all as a really big group up to Jerusalem, and they went and did the Passover, and then once that festival was over, the group, and they all assumed Jesus was with them, came back down and was going home. And we've just been traveling with a large group of family as well, and there was lots of kids in that. And I have to say that it is very easy to lose a child when you're in a big group because you just assume that they were someone else. So I'm just going to assume that Mary and Joseph were in that boat. And so they realize that Jesus isn't with them, and so they are like, oh, we better quickly find him. And what I love is that it wasn't immediately that they found him either. Was some time after. So if you ever lose a child, it's okay. Mary and Joseph lost Jesus. Anyway, so they've gone back to find him, and this is what it says in Luke 2. It says, after 3 days, they found him, Jesus, in the temple courts, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. And then it goes on to say, and Jesus grew in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. So Jesus, even as a 12-year-old, so get that. It's not like later on when he's an adult. It's not later on when he's been on the faith journey for a really long time. It's kind of like at the beginning, he spent time in God's word. He spent time listening because back in those days, they didn't have the Bible for themselves. Back in those days, he had to go to the temple to hear the Bible being read out loud. He spent time listening, but he didn't just listen. He then asked questions. He asked, I wonder what that means for me. I wonder, when you say that, what do you think? And because he spent time in the word and listening and asking questions, he grew in wisdom. So he spent time dwelling in God's word. Another thing that we see from Jesus' life with reading for transformation, not for information, is that when a hard time came, in a moment of loneliness, in a moment of persecution, in a moment of just pressure, he could actually stand firm on it. Because it was not just information, because it was deep down in him, he could stand firm on it. And we're going to look at Matthew when Jesus has just been baptized and then the Spirit leads him into the wilderness to be tempted. And we're going to pick it up in verse 2, so Matthew 4, verse 2, and it says this. It's a long one, so we're just going to all read along together. It's up there. So after fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. The tempter came to him and said, if you are the Son of God, tell those stones to become bread. And Jesus answered, it is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. Then the devil took him to the holy city and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. If you are the Son of God, he said, throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and they will lift you up in their hands, so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. And Jesus answered them, it is also written, do not put the Lord your God to the test. Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. All this I will give you, he said, if you will bow down and worship me. And Jesus said to him, away from me, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only. It is written. It is written. It is written. He, in that moment in which he was being told you could do this and you could do this, he knew what to stand on because it was in him. It wasn't just in his head and wasn't just knowledge, but he knew when the hard time came, I know that this truth is true. I know that this is real and I know that I can stand on it because it is written. And do you know what I love about this moment is that the devil also is like, well, it is also, if you're going to come with me with it is written, I'm going to come with you with it is written. But Jesus was so transformed by the word that he knew you can say it is written, but it is also written. And so when it is transforming our lives, we know that we can stand firmly and fully on his word. He was so soaked in the word that it flowed out of him like a living stream. Because it's not just information, but his transformation. Do you know that actually it's recorded that Jesus quotes the Old Testament 78 times? So it wasn't just something that is like, oh, kind of good to know, but it was something that was in him. It was something that he knew to stand on. It was the thing that when he says, I've come to give you hope, peace, that is what he is talking about. That is what he's reflecting on. That is what he's quoting. I don't know about you, but when I think of a stream of living water, I think of life. I think of refreshment. My whole body just goes, And when we come to God's word, for so many of us, we go, ooh. We go, oh, that's a bit boring. Oh, that's a bit dry. And so when God is speaking the Old Testament about who the Messiah that is going to come, that is going to bring hope, that's going to bring peace, that is going to bring faithfulness, that's where we should be spending our time. We should be reading about that. That should be bringing us hope. I don't know about you, but I want that. And that's in here. And so recently I've been thinking about this. Actually, it's been something that I've been on a long journey with, and maybe because the Lord is probably speaking to me more than anyone else about this. But I've been thinking about like my own personal diet at the moment, and I've heard something great about protein, and now all of a sudden I'm like all about getting protein into my diet. Sorry if that's not new information to you, but it's new information to me. And so I'm like, how do I get a high protein breakfast? Anyway, so it's made me start to think about the healthy food pyramid. And I'm very aware that I think it's quite controversial these days, the healthy food pyramid. Oh, good, I see a lot of you. But let's just deal with that for 5 seconds. Let's put that aside and just go, it's a good starting place in which it gives you the building blocks of what should be in your diet. Like it starts down the bottom, the big block being the thing that should be the majority of your diet. Then the middle is like the second best, and then up the top and yeah, anyway. Don't look at the foods and don't go and change your diet because of it. Probably do your own research. But that aside, it sort of made me think about our actual spiritual diets. And I don't know about you, but I'm sure that many of our spiritual diets are probably not how they should be. Because when Jesus said, it is written, I tell you what he didn't say. He didn't say, Craig Rochelle said. He also didn't say, it was said in a podcast that I listened to and it was really good. It also didn't say, in that worship song, it said this. He said, it is written, it is written, it is written. And for many of us, we actually are getting our spiritual nourishment actually from other people's opinions and other people's circumstances. Because every time we come to the word, every time we come to this, every time someone who's preparing a message or every time someone's preparing a Bible study, we come with it in that moment of whatever we've got going on in our life. So maybe in that moment, we're in a real low because we're not feeling well health-wise. And so we're seeing everything through healing. We're seeing everything with that lens. Or maybe we come to it in a moment of joy. And so we're seeing everything in the positive and everything with rose-coloured glasses on. Or maybe we come to it in that moment where we're actually a new Christian and, man, get alongside a new Christian because the word will become so much more alive to you in that moment and it is a beautiful thing to be a part of. But that's what happens. And so each podcast, someone is bringing their own experience. Someone is reading the word and then interpreting for you. And what God calls us to, what God has resourced us with, is his own words in his pages for us to communicate, for us to engage with. And so maybe your spiritual, just in case you're wondering which one is right and which one is wrong, better explain that. So on this side, when we spend most of our times listening to podcasts, going from sermon to sermon, and maybe that's you this morning, maybe you'll come here and then you'll go home and listen to your favourite preacher, and then you'll go from that and you might go onto Instagram or socials and you might get your spiritual nourishment from there. And none of this is wrong. It just can't be the basis. It can't be the main meat or bread or grain, whatever is down the bottom. Well, this is more what it's meant to be like. The podcast, the sermons, they're meant to be the sugary bits on top that just add the extra flavour because we all need flavour. And then it's like books and devotions in which even when we do devotions, you're still reading it with someone else's interpretation. And now for many of us, we go, yeah, we know all of that. Thanks for reminding us. We do definitely know all of that. But Kristen, it's like eating Brussels sprouts. It's like, I know I have to and I'll chew through it, but I just, no. And I think what we're coming with is probably, we maybe need to talk to ourselves about that. And do you know what I love is that no matter where we are in our faith journey, God's word is going to speak to us. Whether or not we've been reading it for forever, and I hope that you're not in that place where you're like, I've read that, done that, now I can move on, because we're never done. It's a living word that will go with us for our life. But I forgot where I was going. Yep. So it doesn't matter where you are on your faith journey. What was I talking about? Brussels sprouts. Yep. Thank you. Is that we've actually got to be persistent with it. Because if you're really honest, and I'm going to be really honest with you, I say, yep, I'm going to do that first thing in the morning. I'm going to read God's word. And I've even done the thing that I think I encouraged us to do 2 years ago, which was like, put it, if you are lucky enough to have an iPhone that has the free Bible. So if you don't have a Bible, here's a plug for a free Bible. It's called YouVersion. It's an app. It is amazing. It's got all the different translations of the Bibles. It's really great. So if you don't have it, you can take your phone out right now and download it. I won't be offended. But I've even done the thing in which it's like the first alert that goes off on my phone is my Bible. And if I'm really honest with you, I quickly sideswipe it. And I'm like, oh, what's going on in the social world? And does that nourish my soul? Probably not at all. And so for many of us, it's actually got to come back to a discipline that we've got to choose. So I'm not just going to leave you there and tell you what you should and shouldn't do, because I'm talking to myself as well. But I'm going to give us 4 practical tips in which we can add to our life and add to our streams of living water. And I'm no Sam. And so I tried to give these things like with like 4 P's and make it all snazzy. But they are 4 P's, but they don't really rhyme. Like, he gets them to rhyme. I couldn't get them to rhyme. But so you just have to put up with me. I am who I am. So the first one is pattern. Okay, and so for us in our life, we have to create a pattern, a consistency, a routine, a habit, a time. And so for each of us, it might look different. And for each of us, every day might look different about how we do it. Maybe for you, it is the first thing in the morning. Maybe you go, actually, I need to be disciplined in that. And I need to fill my soul with God's word first thing in the morning. Or maybe it is, hey, I have 20 minutes when I get to school pick up a little bit earlier so I can get a really good spot. And maybe I could use that 20 minutes to read God's word. Or maybe it is like, instead of on the train scrolling through the socials and not bringing me actually any joy, I could actually just read God's word. Don't get into the trap of making it a podcast, but reading God's word. So the first thing is pattern. The second thing is play. It's got to be fun. You actually can have fun. It's not meant to be dry. It's not meant to be Brussels sprouts. I'm so sorry if you like Brussels sprouts. It's not meant to be Brussels sprouts. It's meant to be fun. It's meant to be enjoyable. It's meant to be something that you engage with and that you get excited to read. So maybe it is, how can you think of different ways to engage with God's word? Maybe what's a new way in which you could read it? Maybe you go, actually, this year I'm going to, and you can do this, try and read the Bible in a full year, but that is a lot. Let's all be realistic as well with the pattern, make it a realistic pattern. But play with it. Think of different ways. It doesn't have to be in the one same boring brown chair that you read in with dim lighting every time. It can be out and about. It can be wherever you want to be. It could be, and note this, it could be the audible, version of the Bible, not a podcast, an audible version of the Bible. The other one is to pray. And so generally 1 and 2 kind of work them out. And then praise as we get along in the journey a little bit more is to pray that it will actually transform you. And this one might be a little bit prickly, but pray that you won't search the word, but you will let the word search you. So you're not going to go into it looking for the answers that you want. You're not going to go in it looking that it will confirm what you want it to confirm, but you're going to allow it to search you, which then brings me on to the 4th one, which is push. Allow the tricky bits to actually push up against you. So when you come along something that you're like, I'm not sure yet, allow it to push against you. And ask yourself, why does that make me feel the way that I'm feeling? What is causing that? And then within that push, just sometimes God actually really speaks to us and might have something to say to us when it's a bit prickly. And in that, you're not alone. So it's not a lone activity. If you've got things that are pushing up against you or if you've got things that are niggling you, you don't just sit in them and go, oh, I'm not really sure what to do with that. Ask, go and find someone and say, this is when I read this in the word and it made me feel like this, what do you think that God is saying about that? Because that's how we also learn. And so not only am I going to leave you there, I also have one of my favourite things in the whole entire world, a QR code for you all. And I've put together, it's very, very basic, and so we'll probably add to it as time goes on. But on this QR code, if you go to it or if you go to northsidechurch.info, there will be a bit about tips and tricks to studying God's Word. And it gives you two different methods to do. One's called SOAP and the other one's called Discovery Bible Method. And it's different ways in which you can go, okay, I'm going to read maybe these five verses in the Bible, but how do I actually, what do I do with it now that I've read it? And it gives you some tools to do that. And if you've got any other ones, let us know and we can add them on to that too so that we can all be resourcing each other. But that's a good place to start. It also will give you, if you don't actually know where to start to read in the Bible or you just want a refresher of, please just tell me a book to read. Because sometimes if you're like me, sometimes we just are like, I'm happy to do the work, but could someone just give me the content to do so that I can then do the work? There's some books of the Bible that you could start with, like Ephesians, Galatians, I think it's all the Shuns that are a really good place to start. Or the Gospel of John is also a really good one to do if you haven't done that one in a while, or the Book of James. But it just gives you some tips and tricks like that, because we don't want to just go, hey, we need to read God's Word, and then go do likewise. Like, we want to make sure that you have it within you, have the resources for you. Also, if you don't have a Bible and you'd really like one, and you'd like a hard copy one, not just an electronic one, which you can get for free, YouVersion, go check it out on the App Store because it's a really great resource, then come and see us, because we do want to be able to resource you. We want to be able to give you the things so that God can speak to you. And they're at the back, yes, they are, and they're beautiful and white, which means if they don't stay white, it's okay. That means that your life is good. It means that you've read it. You know what I mean? This is not my normal Bible, just so that we can all, so you can all just, haven't highlighted anything. So, if we don't actually allow it to transform us, we can keep doing what we're doing. We can keep reading this for information, but then we might as well just be reading this. And so I don't know about you, but I'd love for this to become something that transforms my life, and so that when I read it, I go, yes, today was dry, but I know that because I am doing it diligently, that God is going to meet me. I know that because when I come up against a hard time, I know that because I've read his word, I know that I can stand assured and go, he does not change. I can say, it is written that my God does not forsake me. I can say, it is written that he loves me. It is written that I am made in his image. It is written that I am forgiven. But that's because I am being transformed by his word. So the choice is yours. It can be a street directory, or it can be a transformational text. Let's pray. Father God, we just thank you so much that we have the ability to have access to your living, powerful, life-transforming word, God. And God, it's so easy for us to take it for granted. For those of us that have been in your word for many, many years, it's easy for us to take it for granted that it is just easily available. And so, God, I just pray right now that that desire in our souls, that desire in our spirit to be refreshed, Lord, that we will find that in your word. Lord, I pray that as each of us maybe take a step toward reading your word in a more consistent way, in a more life-transforming way, Lord, I just pray that you will meet us there. God, we don't want to be reading a street directory that might be able to help us to get from A to B. But God, we want to be reading your word. We want to be reading your word so that we not only grow in wisdom, but we also grow in faith, we also grow in nourishment, and we also just grow in refreshment in you. So we thank you for that, Lord. And God, we thank you that we have the ability to have a relationship with you, God. We thank you that because Jesus did come as fully human and fully divine, Lord, that we have the opportunity to be in relationship with you, God. And so, Lord, as we come before you now and ready to take communion, to be reminded of that, to be reminded of the beautiful gift that you have given us, Lord, I just pray that you will meet us there. I pray that we will feel that refreshment in our souls.
Well, thanks for tuning in. If you'd like to find out more about Northside, visit northsidechurch.org.au.